Very thankful for the song service and the humble prayer offered up by Brother Lance on our behalf, and certainly begging interest in your prayers this morning as I stand before the Lord's people, that God would be merciful to us once again, that God would show pity, as the song says. As most of you know, throughout the years, I've been very concerned and about the way Christianity is, the road it's taken in this country. You know, it's not just a Primitive Baptist problem. It's a problem among all of God's people. And, you know, I read an article last week, in the short article that my wife sent me, and it said, "Why do people not go to church anymore?" You know, and after I read the article, I began to think about those that did. In the article, it was a research article, said that only about 20% of Americans attended worship service once a week any longer. Brother Don Richards, I talked to him about that, and he read it, and he said, "I don't believe even 20% attend worship services anymore." And we wonder why that is, but then I thought, you know, God brought about great miracles, and he wrought great things with just a few. It doesn't take the 80% or the 75% or whatever it is out there that no longer have a desire to worship the Lord's people or worship with the Lord's people. You know, you think about David for just a moment. David was this little shepherd boy who stood against this great giant, the giant being Goliath. You know, all the armies of Israel wouldn't go out against this giant. But there's a great difference in what David did and what they were doing. He went in the name of the only true and living God. He took forth the armies of God, and he knew that the battle was the Lord's. What is your difficulty in this life? What is our problems? You know, whatever they are, we need God to fight the battle, not ourselves. We can't win the battle. You know, the Lord never used a great number of folks to accomplish any of his purposes. We look at Gideon, who started out with 32,000 men, and he was brought down to 300 men because God said if he used great numbers, men would take the glory for themselves, not give the glory to God. And that's absolutely right. So as I begin to think about the 20% or 15% or whatever it was, I think about us who continue. You know, the Bible says that there will be those who are alive and remain when the Lord returns. But I thought about those who are alive and continue to worship this day, regardless of how few in number it may be to what it was. And this is a problem, I said, is among Christians everywhere. Last week I spoke about Christianity. Is being a Christian merely an open declaration that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is one definition, but is that all it amounts to? Does it amount to anything more than just saying, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ"? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." He didn't become the child of God. He wasn't born again because he decided to believe. It's a very evidence that he is a child of God because he already believes. He that believeth. But is that all there is to being a Christian? We made mention in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I tell you, I believe that they were called Christians because they followed the example of Jesus Christ. They followed his teachings, and they were willing to suffer for his name. In other words, they were willing to make great sacrifices. I made mention also, if I'll try to continue going forward this morning, that at the heart of Christianity, the heart and soul is sacrifice. If there was no sacrifices, and the greatest sacrifice of all in the Lord Jesus Christ had not been made, our faith, our preaching, and our assembling here together would all be in vain. It'd be purposeless. There would be no reason for it. And at the very root, or if you would, the heart and soul of sacrifice is love. You know, a sacrifice that's made on behalf of the love you have for someone is something that you're more than willing to do. Me and Brother Darrell King were talking about this yesterday. He made a great point. How much do you love your husband or your wife? What sacrifices within reason would you make for them because of your great love for them? Most of us would go up over and above to do what we could to make our spouse happy, would we not? How far are we willing to go to to please the Lord? How much do we love the Lord? You know, when we think about sacrifices in this life, everybody's tired, everybody's wore out, everybody wants to be entertained. We have all these things in the Western culture to deal with now, a culture that is very self-centered, and unfortunately, I'm not the only one that sees that. I've read writer after writer in different denominations. It'll tell you the Western culture is the most self-centered culture on the earth, which really means life is all about me, how I feel, what I want, and the desires that I have. But Christianity was based on a sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice ever made, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He was sacrificed and stood in your room instead and died for you, that one day, when this is all over, whatever day that might be, that you're going to live in a place called glory and eternity with Him forever. You won't be burdened with sickness. You won't be burdened with sleepless nights. You'll never have to be challenged with death again, because death will have no dominion over you. So the greatest blessing that we ever had in this life or ever will have is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You know, a lot of folks that make a sacrifice and suffer for that sacrifice aren't ready to jump up and glorify God. You know, we are very soft in this country. We've done very well, and I'm as guilty as anybody that's lived in it upon the earth. You know, I think about when I was a kid and I grew up, and I didn't have any refrigerated air in my house, but, you know, I was happy and I got along just fine. And then once I got refrigerated air, I've decided I can't live without it. You know how we go in this life. We've been softened through time, but it wasn't long ago till there's a lot of things we didn't have. What are we willing to sacrifice, or what are we unwilling to sacrifice? Do you know that your willingness or unwillingness to sacrifice on behalf of Jesus Christ dictates whether or not you really love Him, how much you love Him? It's an indication of how much we love the Lord. I tell you, if you love your spouse enough, you will go to almost any ends to make them happy. Why? Because of how much you love them. They mean that much to you in your life. You're willing to do whatever it takes, being within reason. Now, I don't think you should go rob a bank to give them money, or you should go kill somebody on their behalf, but within reason, you'll do almost anything to make them happy. That's because you love them. It is at the very heart and soul of sacrifice. How willing are we to make a sacrifice for Jesus Christ, or how unwilling, will indicate whether or not we truly love Him. Last week we used a verse out of Matthew chapter 15 that began to talk about folks that I believe profess Jesus Christ to be their Lord. It says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I believe in America that's a lot of God's people today. Their heart's in the world as these folks was. You remember what the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10? He says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Not only did he forsake the Apostle Paul, he forsake the Lord, having loved this present world. You know, our old carnal nature wants us to take in all the world we can. But Christianity is about a sacrifice. How willing are you to make a sacrifice? If you want it bad enough and you love it enough, you'd be surprised at what you would do and how much you would sacrifice to see it come to pass. Have you ever noticed folks that want to go on a vacation, how they'll do almost anything to see that through? They're willing to sacrifice anything to see that in. Or if they want to go see their family, whatever it is. And I'm not, these things in and of themselves are not bad. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money, but the inordinate desire for it. When things become more of a focus in our life than Jesus Christ, our focus is in the wrong place. It's not that the things are so bad. It's the very fact that we coveted them. We have this inordinate desire for them. They become a god in our life. Matter of fact, we've sacrificed the Lord Jesus Christ for the things of this world. And I believe when the Bible tells us that whatever amount of folks are going to church among all of God's people in this country, it goes on in verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." You know, maybe it's us who need to make the sacrifices. Those of us who continue to go to the house of the Lord and try to sing praises to His name and try to worship God as God has called upon us. We talked about last Sunday about worship service becoming mechanical. What I mean, just going through the motions. That's exactly what happened to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love." Jesus told the church there. He commended them for doing a lot of good things, but their heart wasn't in it. Serving God is all from the heart. It's not in the letter. It's in the spirit. It's the spirit of our heart that worships God, that draws nigh unto God, and God draws nigh unto us. But really, Christianity is all about sacrifice. What kind of sacrifices are we willing to make to worship the Lord and to be with the Lord's people? I think that's the key to seeing a turnaround in this country. Think about when this country found its independence. There were men who had boatloads of money, well-renowned men who laid their life on the line. They sacrificed everything they had for the freedom you and I now enjoy. They were willing to make a sacrifice. Most of the rich folks today, I believe, would want to send us who have nothing out there to protect what they have. Sacrifice is something that people don't enjoy. It's giving up something for the purpose of gaining something. Sacrifice needs to be a part of our life, and it certainly needs to be a part of our life if we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible declares that we should. And it can't be mechanical. It has to come from the love that flows out of your heart for the Lord our God. That's where it comes from. So I believe sacrifice is extremely important. It's something that we need to consider. It'll tell us, it'll show us how much we love the Lord, believe it or not. How willing or unwilling you are to make a sacrifice is an indication of just how much you love the Lord. Those folks that Jesus was speaking to in Matthew chapter 15, who drew nigh unto them with their mouth and honored them with their lips, but their heart was far from them, was a people who wanted to straddle the fence. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't straddle a fence. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. He said you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll cling to one basically and despise the other. You know, I've tried that a great deal in my life, and I understand that. And I still have my difficulties. I'm preaching more to myself today than I am to anyone else. You know, we live in this world. We walk in this world. We have these pictures placed in front of us day after day. We become part of that, whether we want to admit it or not. We become part of it. Our thinking becomes part of it. We are creatures of habit, and some of that habit, no matter how hard you try, gets into our flesh, and it becomes part of who we are. But I tell you, if we want to see the morals turned around in this country, God can bring about great miracles with a matter of a few. He doesn't need a great army. He doesn't need the majority of this nation. But he says over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we quoted last week, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here's the key, turn from their wicked ways. Do you know how many of God's people today would stand up and say, I'm not wicked, I don't do any wicked thing, but do you know that if anything in this world's more important to you than the Lord our God, it's become a god to you and it's idolatry. It's wickedness. We don't like to look at ourselves like that. And then that verse says, then will I hear from heaven. The Bible says if we don't turn from those ways, then God's not going to hear. He's not going to forgive our sins or heal our land. Do we want our lands healed? Do we want this country to get back up on the moral track? Sometimes it appears that it's so broken it can't be fixed. But all things are possible with the Lord. All things. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. It's not impossible. God doesn't need thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions in an army to accomplish his purposes. What he's looking for is folks that are faithful to his cause, that put him first in their life. You know, there was a time, even when I was a kid, that it was much more that way than it is today, and that's just the truth. We all, many of us sitting here today, know that and recognize it. Things have changed. Things have evolved. You know, life is much easier today than it was 40 years ago when I was growing up, and yet it's a lot easier and more convenient to go to the house of the Lord, to assemble with God's people, but there's fewer and fewer that do it. So the ease of going and the conveniences that we have not been a plus in folks attending worship services or gathering with the Lord's people. Some people say, well, I don't have to go to church to worship the Lord. But it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some. It's not what I said, it's what God said that matters. And it's something we ought to think about as we go forward in life. I mean, are you willing to sacrifice the nap that you're going to take, the ball game that you're going to go to? It's not that any of those things are bad. But are they more important to you? Will you forsake going to the house of the Lord? If something like that comes up, is it more important to you? I'm not judge. The Lord knows your heart. He knows our intents. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. You can fool me and you can fool yourself and you can fool everybody all day long, but you're not going to ever fool the Lord. The Lord knows what we're thinking about. He knows what's important to us. He knows how much we love Him and how willing we are to make a sacrifice for His name. Think about the original disciples when it comes to sacrifice. You know, He's walking along in Galilee and He calls upon Peter and Andrew, and they immediately drop what they're doing and they just follow Him. Did they sacrifice anything? Think about James and John. They were with Zebedee, their father, mending nets in a boat. And they dropped immediately what they was doing and they followed. And they gave up their way of life. Think about Abraham. When God called upon him to leave and to go out, he left his family, his friends, and everything he knew. And there's no record in the Bible that he ever seen them again. How willing are we to make a sacrifice in our lives? I believe that if the churches are going to be revived and God's people are going to be revived and the land's going to come back where we need to have it be, we need to be willing to make a sacrifice. And I tell you, that's hard, is it not? But if you love somebody enough, you'll make the sacrifice. That's just plain and simple. You know, if you want to do something bad enough, most of the time you'll find a way. I've seen people who will even forfeit part of their pay to go do what they want to do. They're willing to make that kind of sacrifice to accomplish their purposes. How willing are we to make a sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's look for a moment at the sacrifice He made. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. You know, sacrifice is something that sometimes is not easy. There's an old saying, we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to have one foot in the world. We want to have one foot in the kingdom. I believe there's a lot of honesty to that. But, you know, as we go through life and go through time, it's amazing how much of that begins to be who we are. We begin in the ninth chapter of Hebrews. Let's begin in verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What we're going to look at for a moment was that throughout the Old Testament, there was one sacrifice made after another. Sacrifices were a part of life, and really they're a part of our life in a different way, and we'll look at that as we go forward this morning. But the sacrifices are something. How many sacrifices have you made for your children, for your spouses, for other folks? You know, a lot of times we're willing to make a great sacrifice to benefit someone else. But how many sacrifices do we really make for the cause of Jesus Christ? To put Him first and foremost in our life. You know, the Lord will bless us for doing the right thing. If you love the Lord enough to do the right thing, you can schedule what you got to do around the Lord. That's the truth. You know, it's gotten in this country that if I want to do something, that becomes more important, and we sacrifice the Lord for our purposes and our cause. We don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. And I've done it myself, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I will not deny the truth, even though I don't attain to it all the time. I don't follow the truth all the time. But the truth is, we do what we want to do in this country. We find a way. We find the money. We make the sacrifice, whatever's necessary, to accomplish our purposes. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. See, in the Old Testament, it was types and shadows and figures of better things to come. You know, a lot of people think, well, God chose His people in Christ before the foundation of the world. But a picture of that was the chosen people or the chosen children of Israel in the Old Testament. But now they're made up of the Gentiles out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation upon the earth. So these sacrifices were pointing to a greater sacrifice. These sacrifices really were not good enough to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Let me read that again. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. Those were the places that were set up where the high priest and the priest went in and offered sacrifices daily and yearly. This was a pattern. But Christ Himself appeared in the very presence of God. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often. Now, this is the key. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice that's not offered to the sinner year after year. He didn't have to offer it because God was satisfied. The Father was totally satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son, to pay for the sins of his people. Nor yet should he offer himself often as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Every year the high priest went in the most holy of holies to offer up a sacrifice for himself and for all the people. But this was something that continued to go on year after year. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation world, but now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, Jesus Christ was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Did you know that? In those days, they killed animals and sprinkled the blood upon the altar to atone for the sins of the people. This was a commandment of God. Well, we're going to notice it didn't accomplish righteousness for the people. They couldn't gain righteousness by keeping the law or even by those sacrifices. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's not an invitation to look unto him. It's declaring to us those that will be looking for the Lord are those for whom he died for, those for whom he shed his precious blood for. But we continue on in verse 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. If you go to heaven, you're going to go there perfect. Not based on you becoming perfect in your own self. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteous of God in him. He was made sin for us. And we've been made perfect through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees you through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he was just looking at us in our own merit, we'd have no hope. Christ would not have had to come to this earth if you and I could have made an efficient, satisfactory sacrifice to atone for our sins. He would have never had to come and die upon the cross of Calvary. But those sins could never, or those sacrifices could never put away our sins. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if you could have offered up any kind of sacrifice to atone for your sins, you would no longer have to offer them. You wouldn't remember your sins. Sins have been washed away. Because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance made again of sins every year. That's what this was done for, that they might remember that they were always sinners. Do you know that we're still sinners? Well, we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, one day, we're going to live in heaven with the Lord. We're not going to have the troubles that is inflicted on us in this life, the troubles that we bear and the burdens that we carry, they won't be there any longer because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Here again, sacrifice after sacrifice was offered, but those sacrifices could never accomplish what needed to be accomplished. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You see, it was a man that transgressed the law of God. It was Adam. And we're Adam's offspring. And because man transgressed the law of God, a man had to pay the penalty. And there was no man found that was acceptable, save the Lord Jesus Christ. God prepared himself a sacrifice. You remember what Isaac said when he walked down the road with his father Abraham? Where's the sacrifice? They had the wood, they had the fire. God will provide himself a sacrifice. He did in the Lord Jesus Christ. He provided his own sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And that sacrifice done away and ended all sacrifices going forward. We don't kill animals now and sprinkle the blood upon altars. Because when Jesus Christ died, it ended all sacrifices. It was the perfect sacrifice. It says in Verse 7, then said lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he done it. He accomplished it. He came for one purpose, to die for his people. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus accomplished what he came to do. He was a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He says in verse 8 above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither thou hadst pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. All these sacrifices that were offered by the law were pointing to this one great sacrifice that had to be made if you and I were ever going to heaven. Do you realize that if Jesus hadn't come, we could make every sacrifice that we could think of day in and day out, year after year, and we'd be no better than the pagan religions. We wouldn't be going to heaven because you and I cannot attain righteousness on our own because we're sinners. We need God's grace. He says in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus Christ paid for all the sins of all for whom he died for, all the elect. He paid for all their sins. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There's no sacrifice that you and I can make that'll take away our sins. And the greatest sacrifice that was ever made was made upon the behalf of those that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the eternal covenant of grace. God chose them, and Jesus agreed to die for them. And he died for them, and the Holy Spirit agreed to call them. And one day we're going to live in glory with him. And why did he do that? Why did he do that? Do you think you're lovable enough that Christ should just love you and desire you? Or are you such a righteous person that God can't help but love us? But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved the world. You know, a lot of people think that's the Adamic world or the universal world. But I can speak to you of seven worlds or more in the Bible. It's the world of those who God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. He loved them so that he gave his son, his sinless, perfect, spotless son. He loved us. Can you imagine somebody loving you so much it didn't matter what you did or how evil you were, that one day you're going to get to live with him because he loved you that much? Have we ever loved anybody in our life with that kind of unconditional love? That's what sacrifice is based upon. It's based upon our love. When we do it for our spouse, we do it for our children, we do it for our neighbor, whoever it might be for, we do it because we love them so much. Are we willing to make the sacrifices for Jesus Christ that the Word of God calls upon? Do we want to see changes in our churches? It's like I stated last week, you know, this is not a Primitive Baptist problem. When I grew up, Primitive Baptist churches were full, but so was all the other churches in the towns that I grew up in. I grew up in a small community, older, most of you know where it's at. The Methodist church was full, the Church of Christ was full, and now there's very few in any of them. This is a Christian problem. It's not a Primitive Baptist problem. It's a problem that, you know, life has taken hold of us to such an extent that I think we've almost forgotten our purpose upon the earth, to glorify God. That was why we were created. That's why God created us, for his glory, that we might glorify him and honor him all the days that we live. Yes, we have many blessings to go out and enjoy the great things that God has created, but we need not let the things of this world and of this life become the God to us and sacrifice God for the sake of those things. That's what many of God's people have done in this world. They draw nigh unto God with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but their hearts somewhere else. They're like Demas. They've forsaken the Lord, having loved this present world. And unfortunately, we're like a lot of folks, or I believe a lot of God's people are the same way. They go to church and they go through the mechanics of worship, but their heart's somewhere else. It's out in the world. It's among the things that they want to do. As I said, Brother Paul Hardy used to pray, help us to remove the vain and statutory things from this world when we enter into the house of God to assemble ourselves for worship. But we need to do that when we go to the Lord in prayer, when we go to the Lord every day. You know, the church is us. It's not the building. The church continues on. You know, your family is your family no matter where you're at. No matter if you in a town that you grew up in or you're 10 states away, your family's a part of who you are and always will be. That's how the children of God are. We don't cease from being the church when the doors are closed here in a little while and we exit this building. We're still God's family out in the world, and we need to let our light so shine that others, seeing our good works, might glorify our Father which art in heaven. That's how we glorify God, by putting God first, making the proper sacrifices to serve His people. You know, God calls upon us to give alms, to take care of the poor, whatever it is. Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Are you willing to give the time? I've heard people say, well, that's just not my cup of tea. I just don't do that kind of thing. Well, when you do those kind of things, you've made a sacrifice. God didn't say you only do this if it's very comfortable, it's very timely, and it's something that you want to do. That's not a sacrifice. You know, somebody might come and say, well, I had 3 extra spare hours today. I went and ministered to the Lord's people. That's not a sacrifice. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ever think He was tired and weary? He went the long journey, and He continued that journey till He finished what He came to do. No matter how weary He was, no matter how hungry He was, no matter how tired He was, He loved you and I so much that His purpose was in sight. To die for our sins, to pay the sin debt that we owed, and to remove the guilt that one day, regardless of how horrible we might have been, we're going to live with Him. That's how much love God had for us and still has for us. It's a love beyond our understanding. The question is, how much do we love the Lord? Do we love the Lord a lot if it's convenient? If it's something that falls in our laps? Sacrifice is giving up something that's important to you, something that you really like, to gain something else. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect, sinless, and the Father gave Him up for you and I. He went to the cross of Calvary. And you know, some people say, oh, He was God, but I'm going to assure you, when they nailed His hands to the cross and they nailed His feet to the cross and they shoved that spear in His side, the pain that He felt was the same pain that you and I had felt if they'd have nailed us to the cross. You know, sometimes we get an illusion that the men of the Bible were somehow magical and miraculous, and they wasn't men like you and I, but they were. They suffered pain and hunger and thirst just as you and I did. The only difference in Jesus Christ and us was He didn't ever commit a sin. He wasn't a sinner because His Father was God. Our Father, federal head, was Adam. We're all sinners by nature. It's as I've said every time, I've heard people say, well, the little infant's not a sinner. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to ever train or teach an infant to become a sinner, do you? They're born with that nature. We don't educate them in how to sin. We educate them in everything else in life, but we don't educate them in how to sin, because they come by that so naturally that they can go out and do a great job at it. We're all professionals at sinning. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of His great love that He had for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, which He has for us, wherewith He had for us, even when we were dead in sins, dead to Him, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how much God loved you and I, and what He done for you and I, how far He went for you and I. He went to the depths of hell and back for you and I. How much do we love the Lord? You know, Demas forsake the Lord because he loved this present world. How much do we love this present world? You know, the thing about it is, we all have a problem with that, I think, and I've had brethren talk to me about it, and I've got the same problem. But then you wake up one moment and somebody you love that's near and dear to you, life is over for them, and you just think, there really isn't much to this life, is there? We got our family and we got the Lord, and that's really all that's important in this world. These things shall pass away. They're just stuff. They're just things out there in this life. I think those things are fine if they don't become the center and the focus of our life. That's always been the problem throughout the history of the Bible. It's folks, God's people would take things and put them in place of God. And it's so easy to do. We come by it honestly. Our old human nature directs us in that path. We've got Satan there to cheer us on and to help us out. That's how we are in this life. But I believe if we want to see real change in the country, we're going to have to be willing to make some sacrifices. I want to go to just a couple of verses here in end in 10 and get a couple more and close. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, notice that. He offered one sacrifice, not for sin, for sins. I've heard people say, well, he only died for the original sin of Adam. But this says for sins, forever, not for a period of time, forever. Sat down at the right hand of God. Do you know how important it was that he sat down? When he sat down, that tells us that there never had to be another offering for sacrifices for the sins of God's people. You see, in the verse before, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering. There was no seed in the most holy of holies. Their work was never done. It was something that was done year by year, a continual process for the remembrance of sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, because of his amazing love for you and I, he sat down to let us know that the work was over. He had done all it took. Verse 14, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How long is forever? It's from everlasting to everlasting. His sacrifice was good when he offered it to God, and it's good today, and it will stand the test of time, and everyone for whom he died will be in heaven with him one day because his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice. And in the 9th chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? He was perfect, and he loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. John 10 says, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. You know, no man took the life of Jesus Christ. He loved you and I so much that he laid down his life. He's willing to go to death, whatever it took, to redeem his children. And the Bible declares unto us that he did it. One other verse I'm going to spend just a moment or two on. When we go to Romans chapter 12, we read verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you know that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices? No longer are we called upon to slain our sacrifices, to die, to shed, to take the blood and sprinkle upon the altar. This is a great change in the Bible when you think about it. All the sacrifices through the Old Testament, they killed animals and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. But now he's not talking about a dead sacrifice. He's talking about a living sacrifice. You know, God is the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. And he's called upon you and I as his dear children to be a living sacrifice. Do we know what that means? Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, because of what's been spoken before, that ye present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. How much do we love the Lord? How willing are we? That'll tell us, and that'll be a great indication of how much we love the Lord. You know, are you willing to give up something that's important to you, to forego it for a period of time for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are the things of this world so important to us? And is our heart so planted into the world that we're unwilling to make the sacrifices? You know, God said when we turn from our wicked ways and we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, he said, I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. We need some healing in this land and everyone knows it. We need some changes in this land. The moral standards are not what they once was, not when I was a kid, and they certainly aren't when this country was founded. You can go read the history of this country, and they were some of the most God-honoring men that ever lived. They sought the Lord through prayer. And the Lord blessed them with religious freedom that they had not had, a freedom that you and I enjoy today, to go to the house of the Lord wherever we choose, anytime we choose. But they made a great sacrifice. And honestly, life is always about sacrifice, whether it's in the natural or the spiritual. You make sacrifices for your family. You make sacrifices for your work. We're all willing to make sacrifices. And I'll tell you, how great a sacrifice we make will indicate how much we love something. something or someone. It really will. When we're unwilling to make a sacrifice, it's a great indication that we're not that thoughtful of those things, or we don't love that person or that thing very much. It's just an indicator. I'll tell you, we have an indication from Jesus Christ of how much he loved us, did we not? He went as far as he had to go. He went to the depths of hell and the heights of heaven to save his people from their sins. And now he's called upon you and I to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We ought to love God back enough to be willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to serve him and to worship him. And I believe if we do that, we'd see great changes wrought in this country. And it don't take millions of people. We don't even need to be concerned about those that no longer attend church. We need to be concerned about ourselves. I read a book once, and I believe every bit of it. You know, we can't change anyone but ourselves. You know, we have a lot of people in life we've always wanted to change. I've had plenty of them. But you know, maybe I'm the one that needs to change. Honestly, you can change no one but yourself. You may try, but we can change ourselves. We really can. Jim Rohn said that in a book I read, and that's the truth. But somehow or other, we a lot of us spend our whole life deciding and figuring out how we can change someone else. But the only person you're ever going to change is yourself. And I believe if we make changes and we make sacrifices, we can see a great revival in this country. And without it, I'm not sure that we're going to that things will continue on as they are. Churches are getting smaller. Doors are being closed. God knows what's happening. This is not a surprise to him. So I'd ask you today to think about these things. I hope it's been a blessing unto you. I hope you're willing to make a sacrifice, because sacrifices are not easy. A lot of times they're not something we want to do, but that's what really makes them a sacrifice, is when you do something that you really don't want to do. If you follow your carnal nature, you haven't made a sacrifice, because the easy things are easy for anyone. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and it won't be easy for us, but it'll indicate how much we love him, because he loved us with an everlasting love.